so many people's hearts today because all of us come from our mothers. We all have come from a mom. So the message is today of we are made for more and our Jesus is everything to us comes from hearts that are transformed by the love of Jesus, knowing that there are so many things that people feel on a day like this, I included. I can just tell you as a mother and as a grandmother, I look over my life and I look at my children and my grandchildren, my husband, my family, thanking God for their lives and looking at where am I with my life in Jesus? Where am I? And I know some of you don't have your moms here, and that's very hard. That's very tough. And so there are many emotions that go through our hearts and our lives on days like this. Or maybe our moms are here and we're not necessarily very close to them, or we aren't necessarily feeling that we can express to them some of our feelings and some of our emotions. There may be just a myriad of feelings and thoughts that are important to the Lord. We have, some of us may be feeling regret in our hearts. Some of us may be feeling regret in our lives, thinking, oh, if I could do this, if this would have been different. And there are just constant remembrances that the Lord allows us to feel, but at the same time, the enemy wants to hammer us with if they are not thoughts that are uplifting and helpful, or thoughts that maybe we've had over our life and we've asked the Lord to come and heal some of the emotions and some of the feelings. So there may be mixed bags inside of each one of us in our hearts. Some of us may not have anything other than, oh, this is great, life is good, and I just have warm feelings all the time. And that's wonderful. Praise God for that. But when we're here as a family of God and we're here in the body of Christ and we're looking at eternity, actually, we may not be feeling that, but all of us will one day either be with Jesus or not be with Jesus. Our hearts are positioned to, at that point when we think about that, our hearts are positioned to say, what was my life worth? What did I do? Where am I going? What am I going to be part of? What's happening after that? So there's different components that go on Mother's Day. I've been thinking about this a lot. Different mental and emotional and spiritual components in our lives. And thinking about so many people in my life, not just my family, my spiritual family as well, but also friends of mine, friends from the past, acquaintances, long-term relationships, short-term relationships, and I've just allowed the Lord to bring those to mind. But what I am hoping for in my own life, and I just want to pass that on to you, is a healthy perspective that God wants to bring. And I believe through our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving as we worship the Lord today in joy, that the Lord can settle some things in our hearts. He can bring us to a place of even where pain might still be lurking, or some of the feelings that I described might come, might go, that when our eyes are lifted up to our Jesus, whether we know him or not, he is still our Jesus. We may not have connected with him yet. We may have a small connection with him. But at the end of our life, there will be an ongoing connection with Jesus, I believe. For those who are here with us, and our mandate is to fill our hearts and be filled with his love, with his grace, with his mercy, so others who are with us, others that we can influence in any way, would be able to come to know our marvelous Jesus. So my heart today, as we worship the King in spirit and in truth, as we are just taking that step into the place and saying, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart so that I could see you even in the midst of all kinds of situations that vary from person to person. Even in the midst of all of the feelings and emotions, or even feelings and emotions that are kind of stuck that may not be experienced right now, but they're there. somewhere inside of us, even in the midst of all of that, that we could take a step and just say, Lord, open the eyes of my heart that I might know you, I might see you, I might connect with you. And this is for any of us, not just moms today, but we do celebrate moms today in every form. Anyone who has ever cared for, perhaps birthed, maybe not, maybe adopted, or had some other kind of relationship, a physical or a spiritual mom, whatever it would be, some type of maternal, motherly influence in your life, the Lord says, I designed it that way. And wherever we are in that spectrum of what that relationship initially when we were born has affect, how it has affected us, whether it's been positive, whether it's been positive with some bumps, whether it hasn't been positive, you know, the Lord isn't necessarily calling us to rate it, but he is calling us to relate to his love. And the Lord is saying, just let me love you today. And then you will be touched deep in those places where forgiveness wants to move, where appreciation wants to be celebrated in your life, those feelings, those thoughts, wherever some of those experiences inside of us that maybe we can tap into and say, yeah, that makes sense, or no, I don't know what you're talking about, but maybe there's something there. The Lord knows, and he's saying, come to me, all of you, and take my loving yoke, my yoke of love upon you. So if there's any burden today, any pain, any feeling or emotion, and you're not even sure what it is or what to do with it, the Lord knows everything. He's our King, and we celebrate him on this Mother's Day today because he is family, and he wants us to know him as our Father, as Jesus, as Holy Spirit. He's saying, come into my family, and I want to make you new. I want to clean you. I want to hold you. I want to love you. I want to cherish you because you were made in my image, and I care so much about you. So each one of us is so special. Because it's Mother's Day, and that's how we are when we celebrate in this world, we're acknowledging all moms today on every capacity. Moms here, moms that have gone home, or moms that haven't been around in any way. So we do acknowledge, and we do have a small gift for each one who has come through the door. Some we may not know. So if you didn't get that, make sure that you do. I don't know who's passing those out. But I just want to thank God for your lives and thank you for the honor. Any of you ladies in here who are moms and in any capacity or grandmothers, that I would exhort you and encourage you to know that you're very special. And in the Lord's heart, in his mind, in his economy, he's very pleased and he's very proud of you. And he does not reject you. He does not reject us. He says, I love you. Come towards me. And that's an invitation for all of us. But today we also say, we celebrate you and thank you, moms, who have been stepping in to fulfill the role, learn how and fulfill the role that the Lord has placed us in. So thank you for all the good works, all the good job, all the good things that your maternal heart has stepped into. Hopefully with the help and the support and the knowledge and the friendship and the power of Jesus Christ by the power of Holy Spirit. And if not, I invite you into that today because our God is so good. We can't do anything without him. And he knows you and he loves you. And for those places where there's a sting for maybe a loss that's current here in this world where we can't do anything. We want to do something about it, but it doesn't seem like it's changing. Or we can't do anything about it because moms or mother figures are not in our lives. The Lord still says, come to me and I will hold you. And my love will shine in you. My love will take you where only my love can. And it's a message of love today and a message of grace and mercy today. So as we continue to worship, let these words of life saturate you because they come from a deep place of gratitude for you for those in my life who have blessed my life so much, for my family, for my spiritual family and friends as well, but also from the Lord, great gratitude from the Lord towards you, but from us, from me, from all of us together, great gratitude to him. So we give you praise, and we praise and sing out your glorious name. So I invite you, if you'd like, to be on your feet, and we'll continue with worship this morning in spirit and in truth for all those. So, Father, thank you so much for this message of love and grace and mercy today and our hearts of worship and praise and thanksgiving before you as we put you as the center and the focal point of everything that we're about. In Jesus' name, we celebrate you, moms, on this Mother's Day. Amen.
Oh, throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring, and every season from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see the promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I remember when I'm weak, fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always. of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see the promise is in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see the evidence. I see the evidence of your goodness all over. Lord, you know me, and you always will. Yeah, you keep me, yeah, you hold me close. And like new mercies, Lord, you know me, and you always will. Yeah, you keep me, yeah, you hold me close. Like mercies in the morning's fill, you surround me.
For the evidence.
of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my
attitude of prayer and presence. You can take a seat. We're going to take communion together. But before we do, I just want to share a little bit about God's favor, redemption, and glory. You know, on this Mother's Day, the mothers in this room, or those we honor that are with us or not, they exemplify the grace and unwavering love of the Lord. They have to. You know, the husbands, the dads, they get to be there and lead and help and provide. But they're kind of the sidekick in a sense, because the mother bears the child. The mother is filled with life, and that compassion and that connection is so deep, and it's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. In Luke 1, 37 and 38, I just want to read a little bit about Jesus' mother. And this morning, the Lord woke me up, and I spent a few hours with him, and he reminded me of this passage. When the angel came to share with Mary that, hey, guess what? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his triumphal entry, salvation unto all mankind, it begins now. It begins here. It begins with you. It begins really with each of us. So I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. Luke 1, 37 and 38 says, not one promise from God is empty of power. Hear me. If you're contending for something, if you're believing for something, if you're standing for something, not one promise from God is empty of power. Nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Then Mary responded, saying, yes, yes, I will be a mother for the Lord as his servant. I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. And the angel left her. Lord, right now we say, yes, I will be your servant, and I accept whatever you have for me. For with you, all things are possible. things from the heavens to under the seas, all of it. In your power and glory and majesty, we have dominion over it in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is that heart that a mother has, that a parent has, that flows truly, scripturally, from the heart of God. And being a parent also requires forgiveness. We are very imperfect people. So Isaiah 43 talks a little bit about forgiveness and Israel being redeemed. And as we sit here thinking of communion, think of the Lord and what he did in sending his son to die on the cross, for his blood to be shed for each and every one of us. Do you know that God would do it again right now if you were the only person left on earth? He loves you that much. You know, it's hard to fathom that, but when you think of your mother, you know that no matter what, she loves you no matter what. Period. How much more does the Lord then love you? How much greater is the Lord's love? So Isaiah 43, 1 through 7, again, we're going to read this time in the New American Standard Version. It says, "But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored, and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." The Lord has made you on purpose, and he has your yesterday, he has your today, he has your tomorrow under his wings. He is that good and perfect Father from above. And it's really something that we can rest in him and just rely on him and say, "Lord, I'm going to sit back in your splendor. I'm going to sit back in your majesty and revel in your magnificence." Because I know that I have favor. In you, I have redemption, and I am called to bring glory to your name. So finally, in Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9, again in the Passion Translation. Just take your cup and your wafer. Just hold it in your hand for a moment. Let's give communion to the Lord as I read about the magnificence of our Lord. Psalm 8. Yahweh, our sovereign God, your glory streams from the heavens above, filling the earth with the majesty of your name. People everywhere see your splendor. You have built a stronghold by the songs of children. Strength rises up with the chorus of infants. This kind of praise has power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Look at the splendor of your skies, your creative genius glowing in the heavens. Maybe look at the skies tonight. Look at the splendor of your skies, the creative genius glowing in the heavens. When I gaze at your moon and your stars, mounted like jewels in their settings, I know you are the fascinating artist who fashioned it all. But I have to ask this question. Why would you bother with puny mortal man or care about human beings? Yet what honor you have given to men, created only a little lower than Elohim, crowned with glory and magnificence. You have delegated to them rulership over all you have made, with everything under their authority, placing earth itself under the feet of your image bearers, all the created order and every living thing of the earth, sky and sea, the wildest beasts and all that move in the paths of the sea. Everything is in submission to Adam's sons. Yahweh, our sovereign God, your glory streams from the heavens above, filling the earth with the majesty of your name. People everywhere see your splendor. So right now, if you're sitting around anybody that is a mom, let's just either reach out our hands or put our hands on the moms in this room. And as we take communion, we say, Lord, we thank you for these women that are steadfast in the power and truth and revelation of the majesty of your name, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I am. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to honor these women in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that without you, we would be nothing, but because of you, all things are possible. We ask, Lord, that you would gird these women with the full armor of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for each of us, for sending your son to die on the cross. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, we ask for more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So on that note, you know, it's obviously Mother's Day. And this morning, my son David said, why don't you just talk about mom, because she's just absolutely the best. And she's a picture of God's love. And that just spoke to my heart. Because that's what family is. It's sacrifice, it's acknowledgement, it's love. You know, and for me this morning, as the Lord was speaking to me, just excited for what today is going to bring, because it's a day of redemption. And the Lord gave me these verses as I flipped through notes from my time in Poland, from messages that my mom gave. And they stand true, and they speak eternal love in him and him alone. Amen? Amen. And since I'm up here and you have to listen very quickly, this week there are a few things going on. So don't forget, we have Lighthouse prayer Friday night, Saturday all day, Freedom Cry. Please come. You'll see that you can sign up online. I actually did. Not very hard. You can do it. So please sign up online. There's going to be a smorgasbord of spectacular speakers and me as well. And then if you mark your calendars, you're going to see at the bottom a bunch of activities coming up throughout the summer. Healing Rooms, Watch of the Lord, Jackson Community Celebration, Green Light Missions, and a summer celebration.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot to be grateful for. There's a lot to plug into. The time is now. We are in this community, and the time is now. So let's expect for expansion and for God to show up in miraculous and mighty ways. Amen. Bless you on that, children. Children, go home. I mean, you may go to class.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. On Mother's Day 2024, I believe the Lord is doing many, many things in our midst. And beautiful communion, Mike, beautiful worship, Peter and team. And the kids are excited. I can hear that. I'm very, very grateful to be able to share from my heart this morning a message that I believe the Lord has given me. And I do think and believe that there is a place that God has for us to dig our hearts, our heels, our feet into a new place in a new dimension, a new place, the atmosphere of God that is so beautiful, and that today we're going to take steps that are going to bring us into another dimension of God's glory. Because the Lord is very generational. He loves family. He loves inheritance. We can take a look at our own family of God and see that. There are obviously many ages in here and many realms of glory that people have entered into, but there's always more. There are deeper times, deeper places, deeper, wonderful experiences and encounters with the Lord when our heart is focused on Him. And I love that we can celebrate each other, celebrate especially mothers today. And as I mentioned earlier, if that finds you with an ache in your heart in any capacity, then just know that the Lord is bringing healing, or that's His desire to do that, because there's just so many different experiences. And when I was thinking about today, I was remembering that the Lord is always looking for those who have thankful hearts and grateful hearts. He's a God of thanksgiving, the God of breakthrough, the God who really, really wants us to see how we are to view Him, to see Him, to be able to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And then when we have a grateful, thankful heart, the expression for each one of us back to Him is phenomenal and comes from a deep love that He deposits in us. So Philippians, if we can put up Philippians 1, 3 through 11 in the NASB, if Ashley, I think you gave it to her. Mm-hmm. It's really profound, and it's in the very beginning of the book of Philippians where Paul is speaking to the Philippian church, but as he expresses who he is in terms of how the Lord sees him, and he's sharing that with these people, he's expressing his gratitude for each one of them. He's very, very clear in how he postures himself and what he says. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. And many times in other epistles and other places in Scripture, Paul spends a lot of time in the beginning, or sometime in the beginning, speaking about who he is, how God sees him, so that in a humble way, as a bondservant, as one who is an apostle, but also as a fellow servant and lover of the Lord Jesus Christ, and gives honor and glory to God. So in this particular one, he starts right off, out of the gate, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, Philippians 1, verse 3, actually. But when we're looking at how God wants us to see each other, he really speaks to us about the thankful heart that he wants us to actually give up to him and express to other people so that they can actually feel it. They can feel our words, if you will. And I love that. So many times we're giving cards and flowers or expressions of our gratitude to somebody else, whether it's our fathers, our mothers, our sisters, our brothers, our sons, our daughters, whoever it would be. And the Lord really has developed inside of us a place where great gratitude is to exist. So in verses, and I don't have this up here, that's why I want to open my Bible. In verses 1 and 2, it says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. And so he's writing to them, but also to those who are going to experience what he's saying, which is really, really beautiful. But I love this. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. And when I was looking at that verse, I thought, he's thanking God, the God of the breakthrough, the God of heavens, the God of everything that the Lord is speaking. And he's saying, I thank this God. I've just defined myself a little bit, but, you know, I'm telling you that I'm thanking God for you. And I was just really, really thinking about our Thanksgiving. We celebrate Thanksgiving in the fall, but we are called to be so thankful and so grateful. But when we have many things inside of us, we have hurts and pains or whatever it would be inside of us, sometimes it clouds that grateful, thankful place that is to rise up, not just in a natural expression, which is a human expression of, hey, somebody did something nice, and I like them, I love them, but also from a spiritual perspective that comes from the heart and love of God that is saying, I'm thanking God for you. I'm not just thankful, but I'm thanking the Lord because he's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the majestic one. He's the glorious one. He's the one that we give honor and praise and thanksgiving to for all things. For all things. So when he says, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, next verse please, he says, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. I love this because it says always offering prayer, always saying, I need to say, God, what do you think about them? What do you want me to experience in my connection with you about them? It may seem really simplistic, but it's really deep. It's very, very deep because if we go to the Lord and say, so Lord, what do you see? And I want to measure up in my heart. I want to connect with what you say, what you see, and what you want me, how you want to line me to line my heart up with you about them. That's deep. Because as we heard earlier in communion, yes, that involves forgiveness, that involves redemption, that involves sacrifice, that involves recognition, that involves us going to God saying, I'm coming into your presence and I love you because I know who you are and I believe who you are has changed my heart, my life, my existence, and I so want to remember that each day. Each time I'm praising, each time I'm worshiping, which is should be our lifestyle, that's what he's brought us into. And then we take those steps deeper and deeper with the Lord so that all of our worship and our singing and our praise is really about Jesus, to Jesus. I spent a great amount of time yesterday morning, particularly just spending time worshiping Jesus. And I do pray a lot and want to pray more and want to spend time thinking about others and communing, which is involved in prayer. But also praying is just this communion with the Lord, which is coming out of a heart of worship. So if you don't know our God today, our Jesus today, I say to you today, just agree with heaven that you were designed to have this vibrant relationship with him. And only can that happen as he draws us to himself. So I started praying, Lord, let it be. Open the eyes of my heart. You heard it earlier in the middle of or beginning of worship. That if we will say to the God who gave us life through our moms, with our dads involved, for sure. And I understand the moms, you know, bear the brunt of those 9 months in a physical way. And there's this maternal thing that's growing because I experienced this myself. So I agree with that. But I also want to say that in the heart of God, with that, he's doing something inside of each one of us that we came from both people. And that we have the background, the genes, the cells, and all of that, of both. And it's like, oh my goodness. But the heart that a mother holds is definitely very different in many ways because God designed it that way. But any heart that any person has towards another person is coming from the heart of God, and we take a look at his particular design, and then we walk in tandem with what he thinks and what he says about it. So I'm always offering prayer with joy, meaning the Spirit of God inside of me is Holy Spirit. He is joy. He is my strength. And if he ever gets clouded and can't move the way he wants to move inside of me and then out to other people, then I want that dealt with by God. I want him to help me with that. Because I want to be able to say, I go to God and I just want to thank God for your lives and every remembrance of you. And I'm always offering my connection with God, my prayer, with this joy that comes from knowing him, knowing Holy Spirit, having him freely move inside of my heart in my every prayer for you. So it's like, huh. So this is shaping, this verse is even shaping the tenor of our prayer life. And Paul is modeling this, and he's telling us, this is how I roll. Pay attention. It's very simple. Verse 3, I go to God, but I already know him. Okay? I have this relationship. Verse 4, always offering prayer to our Father in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit, with joy because he's giving me eyes to see who it is I'm praying for. Who am I praying for? If I'm praying for my husband and it's from, oh, Lord, I want you to bless him. I want him to change. I want him this and I want him that and I want and I want and I want. It's still a little self-serving sounding. But when I go to the Lord and I say, I just thank God for every remembrance. I thank you, God, for this man. I thank you for his life. I thank you. And always, Lord, when I'm talking to you about him, I thank you for the joy set before you that you endured the cross lives in me. And that joy starts to rise. It's like, whoa, joy. I'm not feeling joy. Joy is a spirit. Joy is truth. Joy is Holy Spirit. It is not just a happy outcome. Ooh, I'm happy. Sometimes I'm going to my God in deep intercession and prayer and with tears coming, but there's still joy in my heart because I know in the one I believe and I know the one and I live in tandem with what I want to and what he says and what he feels, if you will, what he knows and what he wants me to do to line up my heart with him about him, let's say, my husband. Can't really speak about my mom. She's in heaven with Jesus, and I could today, but I'm going to keep going. So I'm saying for my husband, because of the husband-wife situation, you know, the relationship here, this is very important that we are in sync. And if he's going to the Lord in the same way that verse 3 and 4 are calling out, we can't lose. Because this is how God designed it. It's like, oh, well, I need to know him. Yes, I need to know him more. Yes, I need to go deeper with him. Yes, I need to experience him. Yes, yes, yes. So when I was worshiping yesterday morning and spending time with the Lord for many, many hours, then it was all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. My singing was to Jesus, about Jesus, for Jesus. Everything was about Jesus. It was Jesus, who he is, who you are, Lord. Everything about you. I was brought into the throne room with my focus on him. So my song, the song of my heart, was for Jesus. Everything is by him, from him, for him, to him, the scripture says. So if my heart of worship is lining up with that, whoa, then I will be able to experience that I'm offering prayer with joy, knowing what the Lord thinks and feels and wants to let me know what he says about this man or anybody in my family or anybody that I'm praying for. This was the heart of Paul. This is what he was doing. This is what he's saying. So simple. Many times we go right past this, and I do that myself. You know, I go to Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. Amen. Oh, I know that in many different versions, upside down, sideways. Like, yes, and I give it to other people. Yes, God, he began a good work. He'll bring it to completion. Amen. But the scripture verses prior to that are so powerful in addition to that, because that's a conclusion or part of a conclusion when Paul is thanking God and going into his presence on behalf of his relationship, if you will, himself. It's like, I just love you. I just want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you feel. I want to know what you're saying. I want to know you. I want to know you. And what's so fun about it, when you keep going in Philippians, I'll get there, Philippians 3:10, I may get there, he says, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and in fellowship of your sufferings. I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord. Oh, I remember years ago, back in the day, in the early years of Frontline, we had little necklaces that said that. They were bad. They were little, like, dog tags. Philippians 3:10. Wish I had mine. I don't know where it is. But it's like, yes, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Share in the fellowship of your sufferings. Think about that. If we said that every day, Philippians 3:10, and we believe that, Lord, I want to know you, meaning more, and the power of your resurrection, and joining the fellowship of your sufferings, understand that, I would be cooking every day. Because he's going to answer that prayer going, I know, I designed you. I designed you for that. So that he who began a good work in you, that's me, God says, will bring it to completion. Because you want to know me. And you want to know my power. Because you're not going to make it without my power. It can't be fluffy. And it just feels good and squishy, and we leave it at that. No, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, if we know Jesus, is saying, I'm ready to roar, baby. Come up and out about Jesus in your life and everyone that you're around. It's like, yes, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. Share in the fellowship of your sufferings. Amen? Let's continue on. Always offering prayer with joy, which is power. When it's real joy, when joy of the Lord is moving and operating in our lives strongly, joy, real joy with tears maybe, but joy, knowing you're going to see me through, you're going to make it, you're going to give me the long view, you're going to enable me to see people where they are, you're going to give me the grace to be able to take the step that I need to. It feels hard, it feels impossible, just like Mike said this morning in communion. But with God, all things are possible. Let it be done unto me, Lord, according to your word. That's what she said. It's like, well, that's a pretty cool response with an angel showing up and telling you this news. But let it be done unto me according to thy word, or your word, which is in that passage. Look, here's the word. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Joy. Okay, this is not a message about joy, but it comes from a place of joy. So the joy of the Lord, truly, if the joy inside, the joy of God is our strength, then God knew what he was doing. He's saying, you cannot do this. You're going to be facing impossible things, Mary. You're going to be facing impossible things, Joseph. You're going to be facing impossible things, whoever. And you can't do it without my spirit inside of you or coming upon you and giving you the strength that you need. But part of that strength, being able to operate, is developing from heaven a thankful heart, a heart of thanksgiving. As we celebrate moms today, any kind of mother or motherly influence, it should generate some emotion in our heart, hopefully very good. And if not, then there needs to be reconciliation, restoration. There needs to be redemption. There needs to be forgiveness. All of those things which free us up to be able to see people the way God sees them, the way he sees them. That's why this is so powerful. Ooh, I love this. Next verse, please. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Oh, yeah, well, that's Paul. You know, he's writing to a church. Of course he's going to say something like that. Let's line up. Let's do it right. Let's get the gospel out. And let's you know, we are soldiers, and we're ready to be, we're an army dressed for battle. Yes, we sing that. We believe that. Our hearts might be aching. But the truth is, the enemy will do anything he can to steal the joy, to steal the heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, to keep us from going into the throne room, seeing people the way he sees them, and then knowing how to navigate through that. It's like, oh. The Lord is saying, I want to bring you all into a place of great ability to be able to be my governing agents on this earth, in this earth. It's really tough when the Lord says, well, you're in the world, but you're not of it. Okay. Well, a lot of our worship, I was listening to something that Jeremy Riddle was speaking to leaders and pastors, and he, in a very humble way recently. And he was saying, you know, a lot of our music, a lot of the things that we do, they just echoes the world, but we use a few words of Jesus in there. But it does not generate what true worship is intended to generate. He was speaking from that perspective. Worship of our King, not self. Oh, it was strong. It was really good. And I love that. And it's true. The Lord says, don't settle. He gave me a prophetic word last week. And with the dedication, which was beautiful last week, I didn't give it. So I gave it to Ashley and said, Ashley, I wrote it down, you know, as he was just speaking to me. And I thought, okay, Lord, it's not for today. So I'll give it when you want me to give it. And I believe it is for, it wasn't for last week, but it is for today. And I will give it to you as I'm thinking about family and giving the scripture verses to back up what it is the Lord is trying to say, to grab our hearts to go deeper with him. Remember, I want to know you more. Open the eyes of my heart more. And I want to know the power of your resurrection more. In other words, I want to live my best life for you. Not because I want to fulfill and do something that is really important that I think. It really needs to be what the Lord says will give me the most honor, the most glory. Don't settle for crumbs. That's what he told me. It was like, okay. But what if I see crumbs? He says, don't settle for crumbs. It's going to be better. It's going to be different. It's going to be greater because I am better, different, greater. And when the Holy Spirit breathes on our lives, we need to take a look at where we are and just imagine what it could be and not just follow a dream, because a dream can be filled with self, whatever. Okay, the Lord can give us the dream, but it really needs to be anointed following, anointed words, anointed steps, especially if we keep going in our dream. People are going to see, like, whoa, look at this, look at this, look at this. Wow, they must be doing something. This is good. And the enemy is so tricky, he can come and try to steal the ultimate dream of the Lord for us by having us settle for less along the way. That's sobering. Mary needed to walk the road, and it was a road, Via Dolorosa. She wasn't thinking about that, okay? The road of suffering was coming, and I've had the Lord speak that to me, actually, that you will have an intense road of suffering. It's like, ooh, I don't know if I like that word. And it surely came to pass. And I say, okay, Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Where do I stand? How do I see not just me in my life, but the people around me and what you want to do now in this season with their lives, with my little life, little laid down life, doing whatever I can do? What am I willing to do? What am I willing to do on the front lines? How far am I willing to go? What am I willing to sacrifice to see the next step? And it might be for other people, but it will affect me, and you'll give me more. Whatever that more is, it's going to be good, because you only give good because you're good. And I believe that. Well, okay, I guess it is up there. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. This is in a different version below that. And I read so many, I forgot to put it down, so I don't remember which one it was. But I really like this as well. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Okay, just leave that up there, please. If we're believing God's promises, and we're singing about it, and going, yes, Lord, every promise is yes and amen. Every promise is from you. Well, this is one of them. And the Lord says, do you believe it? Well, it's taken a long time, Lord. Maybe so, but not in my economy. So I'm going to change you in the process so you will fully participate in your part to see this come to pass. If you are not fully participating in your part because I'm using you, then it might feel a little bit different, look a little bit different, and you better be really sure. Because these are your pride and joy. These are your kids. This is not for moms. This is for moms and dads together. But God's way. So if we've got issues still going on inside of us of control, of fear, but we don't know that it's really that, then we might take our steps to accomplish a purpose that we see maybe right down the road in front of us. Like, okay, well, I will do this so that this will happen. Think about that. And the Lord might be saying, there's a little too much control here. Well, what's control? I'm just trying to direct my kid's footpaths. I train up a child. There's a difference between control and influence. When you're influencing a children for things of the Lord, that is good. That is not control. When there's fear attached, it can look a little different. We need to examine ourselves because we're called to be influencers. That is our job. When we are training up, I love this, it says direct your children onto the right path. If they're going on a path that seems to be a little crooked, the Lord says direct them back. Direct them. That means that you're a director of them. I love that because we are. Someone else might say, well, that looks like this or that or the other, but it doesn't matter what somebody else says. It matters what the Lord is saying. Well, but if I do this, they will do that. There may be some fear attached to that. Well, that's what I've always seen. Maybe so. But the Lord is saying, I am the one that entrusted you with their little lives, and I've given them to you for a short time, but they belong to me. I literally heard that from my Father in heaven when I was desperately broken and in tears watching something I could not do something about. And it was when I heard my Father speak that to me, I was able to get a grip and trust because I knew that he meant what he said. Even though I didn't like what I saw. And I wanted to change it. I wanted to save it. I wanted to do something. So it's like, Lord, you called me to be an influencer. Yes, I called you to direct spiritually, and that is your call. And there are some things that will move away that you won't like, and that's part of the suffering. But you can pray, and you can intercede, and you can do this, and you can do that, and you can try not to miss an opportunity that I will give you to direct their footsteps, direct them on the right path, direct them so that they can avoid some of the things that are not from me, that I'm not saying, yeah, look at this. Hope that goes well for you, kid. Uh-uh. So there's that mixture, but you know what? You find the wisdom of God when you are in the throne room and you're willing to change. That's what he tells me when I go to the throne room. And it's like, ah, okay. I want to see my enemy. I want to see you most of all, but I want to know how the enemy works so that I can be the right influencer. So while I'm, hang on with that, I brought this up because I have several here. You'll have to buy it. But I have given one out already as a gift. But I have this little warfare book, and it's called Satan, You Can't Have My Children. It's spiritual warfare for every parent. And I read through it. It's an easy read. And I found scripture verses that I've been praying out for years. But I anchor my heart in things that are good and helpful. And always looking, Lord, how can I change? How can I be a better parent? How can I be a better grandparent? How can I change? What can I do? Because I want to see any person that you give me responsibility for in my life through your eyes, through your lens, so that they can go into the place and avoid some things that certainly aren't from you and other things. You know, you're God, I'm not. So I don't want to dictate here. I'm not doing that. But I am an influencer, a spiritual influencer, as was Paul. And he was saying, I only want to preach the cross and Jesus crucified. And he spoke that very, very, very clearly in 1 Corinthians 2. And if we have time, we'll get to some of that. I don't know about that today. But that was my initial heart for this day. But I do have some of these. So if you would like to look at that, I'm not espousing, well, you need to read this book and everything is great. But it is helpful when you pray for your children or your grandchildren, your family, you pray from a scriptural perspective with God's heart in mind. Because I can tell you, beloved, that the battle for the souls of the generation that we send to class is brutal. The battle is brutal, it is strong, and it is powerful. So I don't fear that, but I am well acquainted with it and well aware. And I believe that's the mark of a good leader. And if you have a family, you're leaders in the family. But we're also spiritual influencers with one another to help each other out. And so the Lord has called me to step in to do things that aren't fun and pretty. But I get his marching orders in the throne room by the word of God. I love that. I want to do more of that with my husband. Myself, first and foremost, but also with my husband. So anyway, you can see me after. I have a few of those if you're interested. $7.99, so you can put the money back in the back there if you want it. Or somehow make it known to Ashley, hey, I'm paying for this book because that's what we're doing here. So train up a child in the way he should go. Direct your child onto the right path. So training up and directing is to help them. Okay? When they're riding a bike, you're very careful, right? And some kids take a little bit longer. Some of them are on a bike they're barely able to walk and they want to get on a bike. That's fine. But the Lord says, be wise in your estimation. Do not mix what you think is wisdom with fear. That would be a mistake. I just want my child to succeed. Yes, so does the enemy, but succeed in the world. That's what the enemy wants, because the longer the children go, or grandchildren would go, or nieces or nephews for some of you are aunts and uncles and, various family members, and you've got responsibility in your prayer closet for a lot of the family members that you have. And the longer something goes, the deeper the Satan's clutches are in a child or a grandchild or a niece or a nephew or a cousin or a friend. So the more that we are aware, we can do battle and win. Because I don't know about you, but I want to win. And I do win. And it's not me, MP. It is, I win because Jesus is the winner man. And Jesus wins. And he says, no matter how long it takes, you stay focused, you trust me, and I will teach you how to go lower, and I will teach you how to love. Remember, I began a good work in you, and I'll bring it to completion. That's the goal. It's not to wallow in what we didn't do or what we've done that we wish we didn't or didn't do it right in terms of how God might see it. It's, Lord, I want to see that, and I want to move past that. Okay, but forgive me, but I want to change. This is so good. So direct your children onto the right path. Even if they are the way that they are, or grandchildren, or all the children I mentioned, or children coming, you think, well, they won't do this if I do that. Well, guess what? When you go and approach something from a spiritual perspective in the throne room, things change, and you still take steps. Because that's how God designed it. Otherwise, we would be ready to say, I quit completely. How could we do this? And God will teach us. He will teach us, but be willing to hear from others as well. Okay, let's go back to where we were. Okay, this is called, as I was speaking to the Lord, I was just listening, and it was one of those times where he said, just write. I went, okay. And it was, don't settle for crumbs, is what he was speaking to me. He said, speak out and demonstrate any kingdom. No, it doesn't say any. It says the. So anyway, what I did is I might have to correct some things because I just took a screenshot of my scribble in my page. So speak out and demonstrate the kingdom, the greater kingdom to your children. Expose them to the supernatural. Show them. Give opportunities. Don't hold back. Help them follow your lead as you step out. They will observe and embrace your interest and enthusiasm. Be free of fear in you to model this, to become what they are to follow. You will learn from me how to speak, act, and demonstrate my supernatural ways to your children. The enemy wants to keep them down, to limit them. See his strategy. Follow my ways to free your children from fear of knowing and following me. Let me read that last two sentences. The enemy wants to keep them down, to limit them. See his strategy. Follow my ways to free your children from fear of knowing and following me. And that was it. I heard it was just boom, put your pen down. Isn't that powerful? That's what the Lord encouraged me with last week, so you're getting that today. So be blessed with that. It was an exhortation. It was an encouragement for me. Keep going, but also just to release that over anyone who felt that they could absorb that and receive that as a word. I felt it was also for our body. And I believe there's the supernatural grace for us to be able to say yes. Not line up as little ducks and soldiers. Well, she said it, so that's it. No, it's receiving the spiritual release that comes from a person who hears something from the Lord. And that's good. That's how we share. That's what they did in the early church, and they continued on. They received the testimony, not just the verbal testimony, those who were with Jesus, but also what it did to them. and what they were like. Like, why would you do what you're doing? You're either crazy or it's true. So let's go back to Philippians. Philippians 1, 3, and 4. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, I'm thanking God for my remembrance. Amen? And so I'll look at the clock here. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, meaning mature it, until the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, I'm very confident of this very thing, that the Lord who began this in you will mature you and the work, and he'll take you step by step by step. And the Lord opens doors, and he says, keep your hand off the handle. Let me open the door. You can walk through that door. It's so good. We can trust him. We can rely on him. But I love this because we are thanking the Lord. Let's go back to the very beginning of this. Let's just take a look at verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're going to read them together so now you can see them with the prophecy there as well as suggestion for a book that might give some targeted scriptures for you and some other things. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I thank you, God. Verse 4, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Notice the word, in view of, in light of, connecting in, participation, not just saying, okay, I believe right here. I got it, I guess. No, it's participation, it's receiving. I receive you, Jesus, because you're giving me the light to receive you. If he can take somebody who's dead as a doornail right here and bring her into salvation fairly quickly, that's amazing to me. And it's the same for you, because we then are called to say yes, but also participate and learn how to know and follow, as that prophecy was saying. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Perfect it. This is good. Next verse. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. Notice the love that's springing up. It's only natural. It's only good. It's what I'm designed to do because God's filled me with so much love because I've spent time in his presence. Because I've worshiped King Jesus. It's because, Father, you're everything to me. My time with you is valuable. I have you in my heart since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Notice those words, imprisonment, defense, confirmation of the gospel. You are all partakers of grace with me. What? Wait, whoa. Your imprisonment, yes. Okay, and you've stood up and defended and confirmed the gospel, yes. So you've directed others, yes. You've influenced others, Paul, yes. That's the confirmation of the gospel. It's not just going out and praying for people they get healed and feel good about. It involves relationship. It involves the people around you. It involves your family. It involves what God says is community. It involves when the Lord says, I want to bring spiritual unity. It's because that's where my power will be released through all of us. When we are really in unity saying, what does he need? What does she need? What would make things easier for her or him? How can I make a difference where I am? How can it look different? How can it be that way? That's what Paul's trying to say. It's not just me and I'm going to do great big things for God. No, it's a communal, which is a good word in this context, communal type of thinking and living. And it's saying, God, what will be the best for how I do whatever, how I give a message, how I will lead worship, how I will do communion, how I will serve down at Skyline Terrace or whatever it would be. What would be the best? Not just for them, the people I'm working with, and the whole enchilada. The whole ministry, that's Paul was seeing the participation in the gospel. You can't stay in your four walls. You know, it doesn't work that way. Well, then I'll do a few things and I'll do some stuff, but I'm going to get back to those four walls. Wrong thinking, because you won't be able to love fully and properly and have the thankful heart that we write on cards. This is the truth. Okay. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Let me say it again. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. The affection. I've got love for you. And that propels me back into the throne room with my papa. Because I have such love for him. It goes together. If we don't have that affection for others around us, there's a disconnect. Maybe there's judgment. Maybe there's criticism. Maybe there's unforgiveness. You already know the drill. And the Lord says, deal with it so that you can go closer to me. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. The Lord doesn't want delays. Many times we blame delays on the fact that God wants to teach us a really long, big lesson. Maybe there's some truth to that, but sometimes the delay is because we're not doing what the scriptures are saying, or we're not allowing him to change us so to open our eyes so we can see that he wants to change us. Let's put it that way, because it's really going to come from any light that's shining on us, in us. We spend the time. Amen? Let's finish it up here. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Love may abound. Let me back that up. More and more, your love, the love. Jesus is saying, I'm teaching you how to love right now. I'm teaching you how to love the person that's sitting over here, if you're sitting over here. If you're sitting over here, it's the person over here. Because we're in this together. Whether we like it or not, we are. Makes a difference. You want eyes to see. You know the old adage that says mom has eyes in the back of her head? You know what that means. It's like you know what's going on. You look at the room and you know what's going on. You're not just thinking, oh, I haven't seen this person for a while, so I'm focused there and nobody else. You're going to see with the eyes of your heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you, and you will teach me how to love the ones that really need to receive that. And not only for them, but for you. Because it's opening, it's teaching us each how to love deeper, more effectively. And guess what happens? We become more grateful, even if somebody doesn't reciprocate. You know? Well, they didn't reciprocate. Maybe they're busy. Maybe they're this. Maybe they're that. Maybe, instead of taking it as rejection or judging it. We're really good at judging, no matter what we say we are. We aren't judging. Many times we are. So let's finish it up here. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. You may approve in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. I love this. So you may approve the things that are excellent. Whatever is excellent. And anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, the Lord says in Philippians 4:8, think on these things. He says, whatever is true and right and honorable and, what was the other one? And of good report and pure, thank you, and pure. Think on those things. And whatever is of excellence and whatever is praiseworthy, think on those things so that this, devil can't have my children, will be seen so that up here, I've got pure thinking and pure reactions, pure everything. I can't get rid of that. You're right. But the Holy Spirit does. And when we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth, and it's to King Jesus, it's amazing. He'll rip that stuff right out of us. He does in these high places, if you will. I imagine Paul's worship was right to the king when he's in prison. It wasn't about his stuff. It wasn't about his situation. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Is that the last one? It's the last verse. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Oh, I love this prayer. Pray it over each other. Pray it for your spouses, your friends, your teammates, your workplace people, your frontline family, anybody you know that you're in relationship, pray these verses together for them with the Lord. If you have someone that you are in sync with, do it. Do it over your kids. You're going to see them change because they're going to follow. Because it's designed that way by God. He doesn't leave us defenseless. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you right now. You are so good and so faithful, Lord, on this beautiful Mother's Day. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the simplicity of your word, the power of your word to bring change to everything. Father, where there's been regret, if there's any feelings of condemnation, anything of any fear that rises up right now, Lord, we take authority over that because it's not from you. And we rebuke that out of anyone's heart here who might be feeling, this is too much. I can't receive this. Lord, you gave us your word. We're meditating on your word. We can receive it. So, Father, I thank you that this is a day of receiving the truth, that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. Amen. Be blessed today. Enjoy the rest of your Mother's Day. God bless you all. We love you, and I hope you have your gift. I've not seen it yet. I don't know. Everybody has it? Oh, they're on the tables. Amen. God bless you. So let's rejoice as we leave the sanctuary here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord says, don't be anxious about anything. He says, do not be anxious. He says, but with everything, in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, this kind of thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then verse 8 I already released to you. God bless you all. Amen. Oh, can you put up the prophetic statement, please? You can look at that. And it's online. God bless you all. Happy Mother's Day. What? Speak out and demonstrate the kingdom. You can take a picture of this if you want to put this on your phone. In Jesus' name. You leave that up if you would, guys. Thank you.
There's beauty in your holiness. Love in your embrace, eyes filled with compassion, and every tear you cry, intercession in your voice, tension all around, heaven's song is singing, let love, oh, let love come down. So wild.
inside.